It's what we need.
Is what we need.
With a little bit of peace and love and the harmony, etc., etc. If you believe in peace, if you believe in love, then what the heck are you voting for? Because doesn't it just perpetually create more war, suffering, taxation, and the further insolvency of your country? That's what you do by voting, is you give your consent to having your crap thieved off you. maybe that's me being cynical again, but perhaps that's the only real conclusion, isn't it? Because it was a big shell game to begin with. Dance a whole frickin' bunch of puppets around. We'll control all the sides, and we'll let people decide which of those sides we control rules over them for a couple of years with dictatorial total control and no checks and balances. And then we'll ask them to tick another few boxes a couple of years later. And they think that everything will change for the better. Aren't they stupid? I couldn't believe the level of stupidity of mainstream media when I go up and ask them questions. They're journalists. Okay, they're trained. I'm not trained at all. I don't possess a lick of training, but I've got a heck of a lot of experience. These people know nothing about anything. Literally. They're morons. It's unbelievable. And these are the people that are feeding BS to the public. So you've got morons informing a public of generally and what I'd consider to be intelligent and empathetic people. A whole lot of tripe. So that they'll just get so frustrated with what's being reported, that they'll stop caring. And sure enough, what we have is an intelligent, empathetic population that's conveniently apathetic enough to not care about anybody else. I hate that so much. And I wish that it would change. And I'm not sure if that kind of society can ever be brought about. If there's ever some kind of mechanism to do that kind of thing. However, I'll probably die trying to find out. As will probably my very special guest, who's about to be loaded into a cattle car and shipped to a FEMA camp near you. it's Mel Fabregas. Welcome back, mate.
By the way, you said that perfectly there, Fabregas. Anyways, what you said is so true and so important. Now, when you turn on the TV, if you ever want to get some of the news, which you don't, by the way, you can only get the real news by listening to people like Vinny or I. But journalism really does not exist anymore. Right now, you are told what to investigate. You are told what to report. When you see the talking heads talking, they're reading from a teleprompter most of the time. So you know that whatever they're telling you, it's being fed back. I hate to go back to 9/11 again. But you remember how the reporters were talking about, yes, and Building 7 has come down, and it was still behind them. So obviously they're reading something. And you were mentioning politics and the great change that we are experiencing here. When you have about 18% of our elected officials, Congress, namely Congress, 18% approval rating. So what happens if you have that kind of approval rating at your job? You get fired. But no, they get reelected 93% of the time. And I asked one of my guests, I think it was Jim Marsh. I said, why, Jim? Why is this happening? And he said, well, because you have your congressman or congresswoman, and most of them are crooks. They're bought by the lobbyists. But because they bring some money back from the one that has been stolen from your city, they are your crook. So leave my crook alone. I'll vote back for my crook. But still, I'm going to vote and say that Congress has a very low approval rating, number one. Number two, we only have two political parties. Yes, we have the independents. Yes, we have the libertarians. It does not matter. You have two political parties, the left and the right. It's just the oldest trick of the trade, divide and conquer. Here, we have almost 50% of the people voting one side and 50% on the other. So with this scenario, things will never change. And unless people start standing up and stop blogging, and instead of blogging, do something about it, nothing will change. Did I lose you, Vinny?
No, you didn't. I was thinking.
Oh, okay.
We were talking about the politics, and one of my listeners called me up last night, and we talked for about nearly an hour and a half. And one of the topics that came up was, how exactly are we supposed to support any political party, like even the good ones that are run by people that we know personally, that are even well-financed and well-organized, who are campaigning on platforms of getting rid of the elite banking system in our country, stopping the illegal taxation on our income, and that kind of thing. They will never, and I think you probably agree with me, they will never get elected. It's impossible, okay, because the entire system is rigged. The population is too brainwashed. You don't have enough counter-brainwashing technology to counteract. How much propaganda will be thrown at you? You can convince the public if you simply have more sophisticated techniques of convincing people to vote for you, and also disproving unequivocally any of the false accusations that are thrown at you instantly, while everybody sees you being accused at the same time. Because if you get accused and then you take more than a minute to respond or something like that, that's basically, oh, you're trying to hide something, and you'll get derailed once as well. You know, like the whole tide is set against you. You literally have to build a sandcastle on a beachfront while you're under heavy artillery attack and the tide is coming in. That is the political establishment, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to make a beachhead, you had best be supported extremely well already before you even announce your candidacy. You know, these kind of campaigns that win, and you'll have isolated people that'll win in small elections, by-elections, things like that, where small communities can rally together and they actually do have the ability to talk to all of their neighbors. And word of mouth is far more effective than any amount of television advertising, dollar for dollar, minute for minute. Okay? Bear in mind that you telling somebody the truth is far more powerful than 100 times of them being lied to on the media. So it's your responsibility, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't matter if you have a radio show or a YouTube channel or a website. Anybody can do these things. But it's ultimately, it's the person on the street. It's the people talking to their family members and their community leaders, their librarians, their cafe owners, et cetera, you know. Run in, drop them a DVD and say, hey, bro, watch this. You'll love it, you know. You'll wake them up. Your community and all the people that you interact with on a daily basis is simply ripe for this kind of information. Everybody loves a good intrigue. Everybody loves a good conspiracy. And everybody likes to be entertained. And I find the conspiracy world, knowing that we're all going to be exterminated in some blood holy fire of the New World Order satanic ritual cult masters, quite fun indeed every day. You know, I get out of my bed in the morning, and it's freaking cold, and I go, oh, mate, you know what makes me feel warm and toasty? The fires of hell spewing forth out of the television each morning when I get updated by the news. And it's the same news when you turn it on at 6 p.m. at the night, by the way, and it hasn't changed. So by the time the people are arriving home at night to get informed about what's happened in the day, people everywhere can already know, right? That's how lame the mainstream media is. That's why the alternative media is just so awesome. Like the Veritas show, for example, Mel.
Well, first of all, you remind me of somebody who left us at a very young age, unfortunately. Somebody who I admired a lot with the name of Bill Hicks. And you probably remember how in one of his stand-up comedies, he referred to a U.S. president being elected, going to the White House in January of the year after they're elected, and taken to the special room and having the intelligence apparatus showing the movie where President Kennedy gets shot, and asking the president, any questions, Mr. President? And I think that's what happens. You have a candidate that perhaps, and I'm going to give him one last time the benefit of the doubt. You know, I know I'm going to get some eggs thrown and tomatoes thrown at my face right now. But let's say that President Obama really had intentions, really genuine intentions of getting us out of all the wars and improving the economy, all the rest of it. Well, nothing has happened. It has actually turned worse. And it may be because the power of the lobbyists, the power of those who control, because as you mentioned earlier in the show, this is a hydra, folks. The corporatocracy is what really rules this world. We think, oh my God, the New World Order is coming. We keep looking at the New World Order coming. It's already here. The corporation rules the world. Who rules disease? Well, the pharmaceutical companies. At least in the United States, we haven't found a cure for a major disease since the 1950s. That was polio. Why? Because there's no money to be made when you find the cure for something. That's why here, when you have somebody who's diagnosed with cancer, they're about $875,000 worth. I've interviewed people who can take care of that for $20 a year. And of course, the FBI has a hit on one of them. And I cannot talk too much about it. You can go to my website and listen further about this. But I talk to people like that all the time. I spoke to a Dr. Betty Martini late last year, Vinny. She was diagnosed with cancer the same day, 25 years before, when her mother was diagnosed with breast cancer. Mother died. Well, she went to the oncologist, and they said, well, we need to start giving you chemo and this and that. And she said, no, I'm not doing that. So she found some herbs. And those herbs, in less than 60 days, cured her completely of the cancer. What happened? Well, the FDA found out about that. They went after the people who were growing the herbs. They burned the fields, and they made the herbs illegal in the United States. Now, tell me, who controls the country? And same thing with the BP oil spill. Why didn't the United States send some Army Corps of Engineers there immediately after it happened? They let it go and go and go. Somebody was in control, and it was not our government.
Well, you're absolutely right. This is where the shadow government comes into play. Whatever the government is talking about, just imagine, what are they trying to actually accomplish? Because they deny with their mouths what they're doing with their hands.
That's exactly right. It's basically being puppets. And, you know, when you do a show like this, and I do it on the internet only, I would like to keep it that way. Because as Jordan Maxwell says, and you probably know who Jordan is, when people hear you, nothing happens. But when people listen to you, that's when they come after you. And well, we really don't know what Obama thinks. We just know what the establishment wants us to think. That's what it is.
I don't know about you, but I don't care what Obama thinks, nor do I care what his entire cabinet thinks.
Sure.
All I care about is what Goldman Sachs and Lehman Brothers and all of those massive banking corporations that have shares in the Fed thinks. They're the true rulers of America. Whoever has the blessing of the Federal Reserve Board shall have the cup of the covenant of the fash of the United States. Now, those of you who don't know what a fash is, and it comes from the word fascism, which is, among many other isms, ism everywhere, no one stops to think. But incidentally, a fash is a two-headed axe, and it's got two heads on either end. And wrapped around the handle of this long axe is a bunch of sticks all tied up. That is called a fash. And if you have a look at the U.S. Congress and House of Representatives, guess what's on both sides of the big podium where the president of the Senate and all of the speakers and officials sit, including the president himself, Barack H. O'Barry, our Lord and Savior. There's a fash on both sides of it. Why do you think it's there? You know, you think they just say, oh, this looks pretty and macabre. Let's put it up in the places where our politicians decide our fate. That'll make it really nice and rosy. And people go, oh, it's a design. It's just, you know, it's a common design. It's like, really? How many houses have you... I mean, have you seen that at Pottery Barn, Mother Effa?
That's true. That's true. What you're saying is absolutely true. It's just, honestly, it's just an illusion. You know, people who go to, and I was talking to you about this during the break, we have this great expectation every 4 years that we're going to be electing our new president, November of 2012, for example. And everybody just rallies and listens to the left or to the right. And we have the illusion of going and electing the person that we want. But first of all, folks, these candidates that you see there debating were not elected. They were anointed. If the establishment does not want them there, they will not be there. Okay, there's a few exceptions, and people talk about Ron Paul being one of them. But, you know, why is it that when you watch Ron Paul on the news, you see how he always comes down as the last one, but then you go to the internet websites, and he's always winning. We have Diebold, the company that manufactures those computers that you see not only in banks, in your ATM machines, but also the voting machines. They have a backdoor security flaw that allows anybody to go in and change the data. Do we have to go back to paper voting? I don't know. They'll find a way to change that too. But please understand that when you go to elect somebody, you are not electing. You're just basically, I hate to sound apathetic and to the point where people say, well, if you don't vote, somebody else will make the decision for you. But just look at the trends in the past few elections in the United States. And I'm willing to bet the same thing happens in Western society, in Australia, in New Zealand, and in Europe.
Boycott! Boycott! This whole frickin' system is a sham, and I don't want to have any part of it. And ladies and gentlemen, you should join United We Strike broadcast as well on the weekends. We'll be right back at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Eastwood Show. It's on American Freedom Radio, and incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. welcome back to Mel Fabregas from the United States and the VeritasShow.com, just VeritasShow.com, incidentally, where you can get via subscription, and also there's a lot of stuff that's I assume has been pirated by your listeners and put out on YouTube, but I don't think you mind about that, do you, Mel?
Well,
I would encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, to subscribe and I don't know, give the guy some money because he does a pretty awesome show and it's well worth it. Unlike the subscription for my show, which I can honestly tell you is not worth the money you give it, and you'd have to be an incredibly generous person to subscribe and really want to support Guerrilla Media and the Vinnie Eastwood Show through to the tracks of hell. And considering I'm living in the largest city in New Zealand, Auckland, hell's not just that far away. In fact, I can see it when I look out my window in the morning. Now, Mel... Speaking of looking at hell when you look out your window in the morning, how is it in the continental U.S.? You know, day-to-day life isn't really any different as much as it has been. There's not people like begging for change in the street or massive tent cities around where you are, eh?
No. And I heard you mention with George Noria a few days ago that even the government is saying they need to cool it with the fluoride in the water. But folks, if you haven't heard, there's some effort out there that in addition, not as a replacement, but in addition to fluoride, they want to put lithium in your water because it's proven to reduce crime and reduce suicides. So there you have it. You know, a couple of more things that they will do to you so they can pacify you. I remember back, and hey, once again, I go back to 9/11 because that's when I really woke up, Vinny. And I remember the day after, a Canadian reporter was interviewing Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld. And they were asking him, Mr. Secretary, what are you going to do if there's another attack? How are you going to be able to control the panic. And he said, and this video completely wiped out the day after, you could never see it again. He said, no problem. We have it all taken care of. We have aerosolized Valium and Prozac to pacify the masses if we have to. What are chemtrails, folks? Look at the chemtrails. Have you ever wondered what in the world they're spraying? What if there's elections coming up? Or if people are really pissed off in the city?
Can I ask you something?
Yes.
Does aluminum, barium, or strontium get used at any point in the manufacture of psychotropic drugs?
That's a very good question. Let's ask a person who works in the pharmaceutical industry. But I can tell you that aluminum, but first of all, those things that you mentioned, strontium is highly radioactive, barium gives you cancer, and aluminum is going to make you dumb. It's going to give you Parkinson's. It's going to create all sorts of mental illnesses. And it makes you wonder when we use the word zombies for people who are out there looking. If you're driving, you see them in this gaze. And basically, they're almost asleep at the wheel. Now, what's happening over your heads? It's really, really not a contrail. Those of you who continue to say it's just condensation, please wake up. There's plenty of information out there. I've interviewed several people who have told me how this got created and what the purpose is and how it's affecting our water and how it's affecting agriculture. Go to Hawaii. There's people there who have organic farms who want it to be completely off the grid, independent, sovereign. And they get there and they build this great farm. And now the soil is becoming so alkaline. And people think alkaline is good. Yeah, it's good for us, the human being, but it's not good for the soil. The soil needs to be acidic. Okay? They're losing a lot of the crops, and the common denominator is they're seeing all those planes, and they're flying north to south. And if you've been to Hawaii or to Asia, you know that planes go east to west, not north to south in Hawaii, and that's what's happening there. And like this, it's happening not only here. It's happening over your neck of the woods too, Vinny.
Yeah, and just a comment on our Facebook group here. Poor New Zealand, constantly getting raped by earthquakes. And I say, yeah, man, James Bond is apparently on his way down here because New Zealand knows how to make his martinis just the way he likes them. You know.
Absolutely.
Maybe that's
absolutely.
Maybe that's in poor taste.
No, that's okay. But during the break, you and I were talking about how people just live in this mindset right now. People think that they're free. Just because you choose the color of your car or the flavor of your pizza, that doesn't mean you're free, folks. You have to understand slavery, not only in the United States, but in other parts of the world, was never abolished. It was just transformed into the 9-to-5 matrix. I mean, just imagine that the day has 24 hours. You have 8 hours to work, 8 hours to sleep. And what do you do the next 8 hours? You pay the bills, you clean the house, and basically, if you have a minute left, then you spend it with your family. No wonder things are the way they do, and there's so much stress out there. You know, people say you have to really work hard to have a lot of things. I think the richest person is not the one that has the most, but the one who needs the least.
Well, I'm not sure. A lot of people say that money can't buy happiness, but they neglect the fact that neither can poverty.
That is true. That is true. But there's people out there, Vinny, there's people out there, for example, in India who are members of the lowest caste. And I've talked to people who have been there, and because that's the world they know, they live very happy doing what they do. And they have the richest people. I know one who is worth $2 billion, had properties left and right, and he was just at the cusp during the economy boom a few years ago. Well, when he crashed, he lost his wife, he lost his kids, and he basically committed suicide because he could not face the fact that what people, the value that people put in him, how they define him because of the money and the accomplishments he's made were now gone. He could not look forward to another day living. He committed suicide. So that just gives you an example of how simple life doesn't have... Yeah, I see what you mean. And would you rather be somebody who's begging on the streets, or would you rather be a person driving the latest model? Well, it depends.
Well, it's becoming sort of like this technological warfare, right? And there's a whole lot of things in play here. And what really gets me, Mel, is the sort of emotional damage that you kind of take on if you do want to actually continue along this path on which we're going, because you do draw a lot of criticism when you talk about things that we do. And I'm not saying I necessarily believe or support necessarily anything you've said or even that I've said, because I often am relying on other sources and whatnot. You know, I'm fully open here. I have no idea exactly what is going on at all times and know all the facts and figures and whatnot. You know, I don't know very much, right? But I always say that the person who thinks he knows everything obviously knows nothing. And the person who thinks he knows nothing probably knows enough.
Beware of the person who says that they have the answers. Go and listen to the person who's looking for the answers. That's why I always say, when people say to me, when I went to do the History Channel segment, they said, so what's your expertise? What are you an expert on? And I said, I'm not an expert in anything. I basically am a truth seeker. And we're very privileged to be able to interview the people that we do, because I see life like this. Somebody asked me the other day, what's your goal in doing this show? And my goal is to one day, when I'm no longer living, my goal is to see a wall that's completely empty. On the floor, I have millions of pieces of apostle, and or thousands of pieces of apostle. And every week when I interview somebody, I take one of those pieces and I pin it on the wall. And hopefully one day, I'll be able to recognize that picture and get most of the truth. For who? For the children, or for the children's children. Because if you depend on the mainstream media to get the information about your health, to get the information about your safety, then you're just going to die. That's basically literally, I cannot tell you more than that. People say, oh, if you want to diet, just consume sugar-free stuff. Right now, they have aspartame in children's medicine. They have fluoride in infants' water.
Oh, but they don't call it aspartame anymore, didn't you know? Because
a lot of people don't like them.
No. It sounds much nicer than that now. A lot of people didn't like the name aspartame because they thought of aspartame and it linked it with brain cancer and people going blind and people having debilitating stomach cramps and poor health and people not being able to sleep and narcolepsy, things like that. But now they call it or amino sweet.
Amino sweet. That's right. That's right. Yes.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? Because it's only just basically two completely artificially designed replicants of two regular amino acids that exist in the body. All right, that's all that it is, and it's very, very sweet. Oh, yeah, that's great. And it's incidentally also the excrement of an incredibly radioactive bacteria or something ridiculous. Like, I forget where the source of actual aspartame was, but it's enough for me to know that every single lab rat that was tested with it died.
All you have to do is ask, although he won't tell you, Michael J. Fox. Everybody knows who Michael J. Fox is, Hollywood star. He was the spokesperson for Diet Pepsi for years. He was diagnosed with Parkinson's at the age of 30, and he had to wait 7 years before it was so obvious that he could not control himself and his, you know, the nervous tics that he had. After 7 years, he finally admitted that he had Parkinson's. He was addicted to Diet Pepsi. So yes, amino sweet, and then you have Splenda, and you know, all you have to do is try to give your pet. I'm not trying to tell you to give your pet and enforce it, but put some of this in your pet's food, and believe me, they won't touch it. If you find an anthill, put some of this stuff around it, they'll just run for their lives. So, and another thing, now they're substituting all these names with the words natural flavors. So if I have a bag of chips, and then you have to call the company. Have you seen when you go somewhere and if you want an explanation for something, you need to write to corporate? Well, the same thing is now. You have to call them or ask them to see what it is, since hardly anybody bothers to find out what natural flavors means. Well, they guess what? They have green light to put whatever the heck they want into your food.
Yep. And that's why I've just come up with a new name now for a supermarket. It's in fact a soft kill market. Because that's what it all is. You go through every single aisle, every single thing that you can buy, pretty much, you know, a few exceptions maybe, is either wrapped in or contains something that is toxic, poisonous, and will result in a lot of debilitating chronic illnesses later on in life if you don't ingest enough, basically good stuff to flush it all out of your system, mainly water, fresh water without fluoride in it. The only way that fluoride can enter into the environment without contaminating it is the reason why they can't dump it legally, except into water supplies, of course, is because it can only enter into the environment safely if it's filtered through human kidneys. Because that way, all the fluoride gets stuck in your body and your bones and not in the pristine environment. Now, isn't that good for the planet? Isn't that loving and green? I think so.
But let's tell the people how the whole fluoride thing came along. You know, some industrialist, I think it was in the United States, said, you know, it costs millions of dollars to dispose of this byproduct of manufacturing, which is fluoride. And they basically went to local governments and said, this is what we have here. I know that you're looking at ways to pacify the masses. We can give you all this fluoride. We don't have to pay a penny. Or actually, it was the other way around. The government went to them. Why don't you give us all that byproduct? We'll dump it in the water supply. And everybody is going to have their teeth are going to be shining white and strong. You go to the dentist and they tell you that you need to have, you know, fluoride in your water, fluoride toothpaste and this and that. But that goes directly to your brain. It goes into your pineal gland, which is something so important. But you were talking about how we, you know, we survive in this world today. It's controlled obsolescence. You know, if you go back into the 1930s, what was the average lifespan then? 50-some? Now the average lifespan is 80-some?
No. That's not true, actually. That's kind of like a congruent thing of numbers. Like if you go to the old graveyards and stuff like that, the only real difference is that there's a lot of children that died before the age
there
of
you
five.
Go.
And
there
so
you go.
People were living the same length as they are now. It's just a lot more children died. But we're really good at keeping babies alive now. So what they did is they averaged those numbers out, and apparently everybody was dying at 50. No.
The natality rates have improved because of the advent of, quote-unquote, science. But it's all control of obsolescence. You used to buy a car that would last you a lifetime. Now cars are programmed to, after, what is it, 5 years, they start giving you problems. And guess what? You have to buy a new car. But the same thing happens to the human body. All these pharmaceutical companies understand that you have to live to a certain age. I mean, in the United States, we have what's called Social Security. Other countries have it too. There's no way that when I retire, that fund is going to continue to support me. No way in the world. Now they're trying to borrow money. If they can't pay their own bills, it's like how I see it. Charity starts at home. If you have a home with a wife and kids and you have X amount of credit, if you extend your credit or default, you can't be giving your neighbors money. Why is it that the United States and other countries are basically spending money that they don't have, printing money via their central banks, and expecting things to get better every year? Here in the United States, we have to raise our spending limit, the ceiling.
Yeah. Yeah. And no one like me. Yeah. 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 Congratulations. You made it. Welcome to the Crusader. It's been a long time coming, yo.
Yeah.
But I'm here now. So what you want to do?
Huh?
How many dudes you really know? Flow like this, like this, like this. Let's do it. How many dudes you know vote like this? How many dudes you know flow like this? Not many, if any. Not many, if any. How many dudes you know got the skills to go and rock a show like this? I don't know anybody. Check the mic.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Crusader. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Spirit Destiny thrusting into the lower abdomen of the naughty, naughty New World Order scumbaggery types. Broadcasting live from the future from the fabulous fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand. Sucking up the toxicity and slurping up that radiation. And much like all the people on the west coast of the United States, soaking up those beautiful rays from Fukushima. the 10,000 years of plutonium. So hilarious. We're all screwed, man, honestly. Isn't the apocalypse great? I don't know. How many apocalypses have I survived so far? Maybe this will be the last one, you know? Maybe on like my ninth life or something. I am a bit of a pussy. I figured I have nine lives. My very special guest, Mel Fabregas, who is, basically, every now and again we have a show where we have a very great guest. And we just kind of click and have a freaking good time and enjoy each other's company. And I believe that's really how at least every show should be. But occasionally we do get very lucky indeed. Mel, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm really enjoying this talk with you. It's great to talk to another truth seeker.
Well, unfortunately, this is the final segment that we have here today. And we'll certainly have you on again sometime. Or maybe I can appear on your show. I don't know. But yeah.
Time flew by.
Yeah, it does when you're having fun. And also when you're accelerated by nuclear plutonium rods.
And you're talking about Fukushima once again. And we kind of humorously talk about it. But, folks, this is very serious. And what's interesting about this is that they were keeping a lot of their spent fuel rods on top of the building. You know, in the 1960s, Japan, the government, told the people that it was not a matter of if, it was a matter of when an earthquake followed by a tsunami would hit the country. But because of bureaucracy and one thing led to another, nothing happened. And as you know, what is it, 90% of the population in Japan lives around the coast, and most of the country is mountainous. So it was a matter of time. So they knew about it. They wanted to relocate Tokyo to the mountains. But this thing will continue all for a long time. One thing I can't understand it was why were the Israelis there taking care of security of those nuclear plants, just like they were taking care of security in the World Trade Center. I always find that very suspicious, don't you think?
I think it is, yeah. But again, I think a little suspicion is healthy. But, you know, in order to end the show, we wanted to talk about that sort of, or at least I did anyway, sort of this truth or infighting, because I try to... I don't know. I've always kind of been the middle kind of guy and try to resolve stuff for people and give people a platform to tell their side of the story or anything like that. A lot of people get set up and they become really hesitant about coming on radio shows and things like that for fear of being ambushed. Like Judy Wood, for example, mate, she's been set up on radio a number of times and I had to talk to her for 2 hours to convince her that I wasn't trying to set her up.
Well, you have to understand, and the same thing happened with me. You know, Dr. Julie Wood and I have known each other for a couple of years now. And the same reaction she had with me at the beginning. And I really can't say blame her. When you are a professor of a reputable university and you have a different perspective of how things are, and if anybody is out there who doesn't know who Dr. Julie Wood, please come to our website or to Vinny's website and listen to the interviews with her. She has a magnificent book full of data, and she deals with evidence. And many people have attacked me on having Dr. Wood on my show or other of my guests. Understand, folks, it doesn't mean that I agree or disagree with somebody. My job and Vinny's job is to bring somebody and give them a platform so that they can give us information. It is our job to discern. And to me, truth and information is like a buffet. You go to a buffet at a restaurant and you pick what you want. But I don't want the restaurant to remove something just because one person said, I don't like that. Let people make that decision to see if they want to consume this or that. I want to explore all perspectives. And in the case of 9/11, there's a few people out there who are interviewed by the mainstream media. When you have somebody who's not interviewed that much in the mainstream media, why not listen? Maybe what I said at the beginning of the show, what Lenin said, the best way to control the opposition is to lead it ourselves. Maybe that's a reason why. Start listening to other people who are not as known as the one that they're presenting. Maybe that's what the truth is.
Maybe the person who will tell you the truth is not the person who has a lot of money, a very plush suit, and various reputable corporations that he's being paid by to talk to a news presenter who has an education on how to dress properly and do their hair very nicely. Maybe they're not talking to the right people. Maybe you shouldn't be listening to them people talking to those other people at all. Maybe it's instead the people who live on a shoestring budget, who bust their keister every day researching, exposing, and talking. You know, those kind of people who appear to be kind of crazy and get demonized or whatever. Those are the kind of people who actually know, ironically enough, what they're talking about.
Think about it. When we created the CIA here in the United States, they had a department that knew that if propaganda didn't work, they would actually send people out there. Right now, with the advent of the internet, they send people to forums, they send people to radio shows, they send people to every community, the conspiracy community, the UFO community, every community. They send somebody out there to test the waters. Whoever finds out that whatever's being told goes anti-establishment, they send somebody out there to balance things out. So yes, there's plenty of disinformation out there, but I want to listen to it all so that at the end, I can separate what's truth from the fiction.
And occasionally, we may be wrong, but, you know, we're willing to admit that we're wrong. Doesn't mean that we intentionally lied to you. It means we were wrong. I just hate it when people assume an intention without any evidence whatsoever. And it's just like, oh, man. That is why the block function on Facebook and Skype is so beautiful. Hey, here's a person who's really giving me crap and doesn't know what they're talking about. Block!
That's, you know, Vinny, I got to tell you, not that many people out there can talk about this the way you and I are talking. Because I have a good friend now, Jay Whitener, great researcher. You should have him on his show, on your show. He talks about the same thing. When the government or those in authority tell you to look to your left, look to your right, there's a concerted effort out there to make people listen to those who are wearing a robe or a uniform, a police uniform, or they're in the government. If they're telling you something, you better believe it. They don't want you to look at the evidence or at the information, and people just look at the authority figure. I hope that when these people listen to you or to me, they're listening not to us, but add the information. Buddha said, don't listen to me because I'm telling you. Don't listen. Don't believe me because you're reading a book. Don't believe me because it sounds sacred. Go out there and get the information yourself. And that's how you find the truth.
Yeah, I do prefer to be wrong because at least then I learn something.
That's right.
I hate being right all the time. It's freaking boring.
Well, it's how they say. An error is not an error. What is it? An error or a mistake is not a mistake if you learned the lesson.
Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, sometimes people learn the lesson twice. You know, and it's like only little parts in scriptures. It's like, you know, when you're going through this sort of progressive university type education, how there's the 101 course, the 102, 103, 202, and whatever. Yes. There's all these levels of education. And ironically, I don't have any respect for any description of hierarchical structure. I mean, if somebody's going to be a leader, they're a leader because they're actually doing something. They're not a leader because they're just at the head of some description of an organization or whatever. You know, those positions don't hold any sway or respect from me. The person, I won't disrespect them or whatever, but they'll have to earn my respect just like everybody else. And I hope they'll treat me the same way so that I don't have to worry about being misrepresented when I open my mouth. And that's what the real problem is people engage in a lot of speculation and interpretation, and they don't actually look at the fruit of the tree that they're criticizing.
That's exactly the point. They look at the authority figure, and they just, they're programmed as I was growing up in school. If somebody started reading from a book, I would question the book, and they would tell me, you just need to continue reading the book. You're not here to question. And this is when the paradigm shifted for me. I knew that there was something wrong with the system. And you got out of your system, of the corporate world. I get out of the system, the corporate world. I remember having dinner with the CEO of the Fortune 100 company I used to work for, and back in 1995. And I said, well, Terry, I think we need to start looking at the internet as a way to put our products and services there. And he said, who cares about the internet? That's not going anywhere. He stood up and left. And then I left.
Indeed. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're wondering how you tie into all of this, the time to wake up isn't always has been now. Thanks very much, and we'll see you again sometime.